We bring in one of the best in the world, and Penn State and the U.S.'s own Alyssa Nayer. Alyssa, welcome to the show. Welcome back home.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right. How's the knee doing?
It's doing all right. Just kind of relaxing and, you know, starting the road recovery. So, all good.
I mean, could you tell right away what had happened?
I could tell that I was in pain, you know, then kind of just let the doctors, you know, have a look and, you know, kind of take it one step at a time and go from there. And but definitely didn't feel very comfortable.
Right. All right, so you say you're going to take it one step at a time. Does one step at a time eventually bring you back to playing for the U.S. women team at this stage of your life and career?
I certainly hope so.
All right, so let's talk about the journey to get there. You come here to Penn State, and in your journey to get here, what was it about Penn State? And I think it was Paula that brought you here, right? Paula Wilkins?
She was, yes,
yeah,
she was.
And then Erica took over, like, I think after what you were, I'm trying to remember, I think it was your sophomore year, Erica took over.
Yeah, Paula left right after my freshman year, and Erica came in January of my freshman year.
Yeah, so... In fact, ironically, Paula went to Wisconsin, which is where, obviously, we'll open the football season. But what brought you here? What was it that said, okay, you know, because you're from Connecticut, so what brought you to Penn State?
Mm-hmm. When I was going through the recruiting process, I, you know, had a very open mind. I didn't really have any idea or, you know, pre-inclinations of where I had wanted to go. And I had worked with Paula with some of the youth teams in the regional on the regional team with the ODP program, and I knew I liked her as a coach. I liked playing for her, and decided to come and on my visit to Penn State. And as soon as I stepped on campus, I honestly just fell in love with it, and could see myself there for, you know, those 4 years of my life. And it just, you know, it's one of those things that it just felt right. And it made the decision easy for me.
Was it easy to pick soccer over basketball? Because I don't think people realize, in high school, you were a 2,000-point scorer. Did you have any offers?
Not for any of the bigger schools. Some small schools, local schools, you know, Connecticut, New England area. But I had kind of, once I went into the, you know, youth national team system with soccer, that kind of took up a significant portion of my time, and you know, that was giving me a great avenue to be able to get to college and have an education, and kind of open the door to a lot of different opportunities for me, which was incredible.
What did Penn State do in terms of play? I'm talking about the pure play now, that now set you up to eventually get you to the U.S. national team.
It just taught me how to be, you know, taught me how to be a pro. It taught me how to be, you know, competing constantly at a high level. Obviously, the Big Ten is very competitive. You know, Penn State has a history of a very, you know, has a great team. You know, there's been a lot of incredible players to come through the program. And for me, I just was able to continue to hone in and on a lot of, you know, little skills here and there, and keep pushing and getting better. You know, great coaches, great teammates, and to just be able to play day in and day out, you know, at a high level, was just always pushing me to have to be better. And I was able to grow into, you know, the player that was able to jump into the pro league and back onto the national team.
What was it like to have a chunk of this journey done with Allie Krieger?
Oh, it's incredible. You know, I have a lot of respect for Allie. She's one of my, you know, good friends, and you know, I'm so proud of her and what she's done in her career, and to be able to share this journey. She was actually my host when I came on my visit to Penn State as a high school junior. So, you know, to be able to share this with not just another Penn Stater, but somebody that I would actually consider, you know, a good friend, and be able to go through these experiences together has been, you know, an added bonus for sure.
After you win the World Cup, there's certain elements that go with it, and there's a great popularity for the women's soccer team in this country. I'm driving somewhere, I think, to make a speech somewhere, and I've got the Red Sox game on. And you threw out the first pitch at Fenway Park, if I recall.
I did.
How did that come about? How did that come about? And look, you're from Southern Connecticut. I grew up in Northern Connecticut. You grew up down in what, Stamford, some down there, I think. I grew up in Enfield.
Down in Stratford, so, yeah.
Yeah, Stratford. You're in Stratford. I grew up in Enfield. So there's more of a Red Sox following up where I am. There's more of a Yankee following down there. Are you even a baseball fan at all?
I am. You know, I did grow up in Connecticut, New Englander through and through. You know, I got drafted to Boston out of college. So the first 5 years of my professional career were spent in Boston. And, you know, one of my favorite things to do there was go to Red Sox games, go to Fenway.
Yep.
It's such an incredibly historical, you know, ballpark. And, you know, Boston is the epitome of the, you know, a sports town. So, you know, that was always something that I loved to do, and was fortunate enough to be living in Boston when the Red Sox, you know, were winning the World Series. So, you know, to be able to get the opportunity to go throw the pitch out at Fenway was absolutely a surreal moment. I just couldn't stop looking around and kind of just trying to take it all in. And even walking off the field with Sam, we kind of just looked at each other like, did we really just get to do that? Like, that we just threw out a pitch at Fenway Park. So that was incredible. That was one of my favorite, you know, post-World Cup experiences for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine because, I mean, as someone like myself who grew up as a lifelong Red Sox fan, I've probably gone to maybe 50, 75 games at Fenway. And like I said, I was listening to the game. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, to look around and go, what was more surreal, your first start in a World Cup or standing on that mound?
You know, I honestly can't compare the two. They're two completely different experiences and opportunities.
One's business, yeah.
One's business, one is, you know, fulfilling a lifelong dream, and the other is just something I never, ever thought would be, you know, an option to do. And when I had the chance to do it, I don't think I could say yes fast enough.
There's a great tradition in goal for the U.S. between Hope Solo, Brianna Scurry. What did you learn along the way from those who had been in front of you on this stage that helped you grow so that you could be in the role of being the World Cup goalie to being the Olympic goalkeeper?
I think the biggest thing that I learned from both of them is just, you know, the importance of consistency, the importance of preparation, and being what your team needs you to be in each game and in each tournament. You know, we're all very different goalkeepers, and we've played for all very different teams along the way. But I think the biggest thing is just, you know, taking everything, the, you know, one game at a time, and having to be at your best in those big moments and being ready for the big moments and ready to embrace them. And you never know when those moments are going to come. So the importance of, you know, preparation and focus and all those things is certainly something that I took from watching both of them.
Obviously, you wanted to win this badly, but I want to get to the personal relationship part of it. What did it mean to you that Erica was a part of the staff this time?
Oh, it was incredible. You know, to be able to share that with, you know, fellow Penn Stater, my college coach. You know, I've known Erica since I was, you know, 16 years old. She was my youth national team coach back then, actually for me, Kelly and Tobin. So to be able to, you know, have her in the room on the trip, you know, just having, especially this one, you know, we're far, far away. There's no family allowed, no friends allowed. So to be able to have such a familiar face, such somebody that you can trust, someone that you can lean on, and just kind of, you know, each other, you get each other. And it was amazing to be able to have her, you know, on the coaching staff as part of the team for this Olympics.
What was it like in the village where you really couldn't go anywhere? I mean, I've got a couple of pictures of stadiums I broadcast in last year, including Michigan, where Jack and I went and did the Penn State-Michigan game. It was 111,000 empty seats. I mean, when the game starts, you don't notice it. But before the game, you notice it. What was it like for you, village and also venue, with no fans and nowhere to go?
You know, it's tough. You know, we were not allowed to go outside. We weren't allowed to leave. You know, we had one floor of the hotel that we were on. So, you know, that's hard to not get some fresh air and just be able to do a lot of things that you would, you know, like to do, just go for a walk around the block. So it certainly was challenging, you know, to step out onto these fields for the warm-up. And, you know, you could hear a pin drop in the stadiums, and it's kind of a bizarre feeling, and certainly a very different atmosphere. You know, and I think it was hard the first game for sure, and then we kind of realized what it was going to be like, and we tried to, from players on the bench to players in the stands to the players on the field, all trying to kind of create our own energies and kind of bring a little bit more, you know, that we needed to create that buzz ourselves.
Naomi Osaka and Simone Biles have brought to the front that, look, the price for perfection sometimes is a difficult one. How do you, away from this, how do you keep yourself loose, your mind free, so that when it comes time for business, it's business?
I think, you know, you have to find things that make you happy. You have to find things off the field that make you happy. You know, whether that's, you know, for me, I like to bike around Chicago, get out to the lakefront, take, you know, go get coffee, go, you know, read a book, find a quiet place, hang out with friends, just go out to dinner, you know, just be able to do those, you know, simple little things off the field that can just, and it's going to be different for everybody, I think, and the importance of finding your niche, finding what makes you happy and keeps you going is really important, because it does take a lot out of you with what we do, and it's that balance is, and I think we're seeing it more and more, that balance is incredibly important.
Well, for fans looking ahead, I'll throw out the names of Adelaide, Auckland, Brisbane, Dunedin, Hamilton, Melbourne, Perth, Sydney, Wellington. Why? Because that is where the Women's World Cup will be in 2023. So we'll at least prep the fans for that. That's just 2 years away. Alyssa, everyone at Penn State, obviously extremely proud of you. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far. Best of luck with the rehab, and best of luck in the future. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.